Last Sunday we talked about the fact that we have two brains. So hopefully that's not throwing people too much, but you have a rational brain and you have an emotional brain. I gave the example to help you see the difference between that of if you're watching TV and all of a sudden, out of the blue, something like there's a dog's face snarling at you, or there's a snake hissing or something like that, your emotional brain will respond first. Your heart rate will increase, your eyes will get bigger. If you've had problems with the dog, you will probably jump. So your emotional brain will respond. Then your rational brain will kick in and say, it's okay, it's just TV. And you will calm yourself down again. So there is a difference. There is a different response. And in fact, we looked at that your emotional brain is faster. That's the one that will respond first. And then your rational brain will kick into gear. Your emotional brain is imprecise. It will tell you either to fight or flight. So if you are in a real scenario with an angry dog, you will have a reaction to that. Then your rational brain will kick in and it will tell you specifically what to do. Pick up a stick, get behind the fence, get back in the car, whatever. That is your rational brain. The emotional brain is unfiltered, whereas the rational brain is filtered. So like if your immediate response was to get a fright, and for some people when they get a fright, they let words go. Your rational brain will tell you whether it's an appropriate place to say the words that your emotional brain came up with. Can anyone understand that one? Okay. So you've got filtered and unfiltered. You have got also different languages. The emotional brain speaks in the language of experience, image, and feeling, whereas the language of facts, words, and concepts is the language of the rational brain. Guess which side females tend to lean towards? Guess which side males tend to lean towards? Yeah, totally rational until God tends to get hold of you. And then God will tend to flip you into your emotional brain. Yes, women tend to be in the emotional brain easier than men do. And there's many times when Ray and I are dealing with a situation and I have a response. Now, that's a male in an emotional brain. And I'll have a response to something and Ray will say, why? Why should we do that? Okay, let me give you an illustration from our life. Ray and I got married many, many moons ago now. Had a wonderful time on honeymoon. Came back and we lived in this little house. We were both working, we were both teachers. Came to the very first weekend of our happily married life. And Ray gets out the vacuum cleaner and starts to vacuum the house. Good, Ray. You're all impressed, aren't you?
Yeah.
Except I wasn't impressed. I got really upset. And Ray's response was, why? What are you upset about? And I had no idea why. But I was holding back emotion on the inside because I was what was called triggered. And let's... Actually, I'm going to stick with the slides first. I'm going to come back and tell you about that story. You're interested about that story, huh? We often laugh about our story of the vacuum cleaner. Okay, but let's have a look at our heart model before we get there. We went over this last week too, so quick revision. We mainly focus on our actions. But below our actions is our rational brain and our emotional brain, or thoughts and feelings, as we normally refer to them. Okay? But that is not the only level. Below that is another level, which is where our identity is. It's where our core beliefs, memories, values, strongholds, and wounds are. And often we are not in touch with this level. But this level has a powerful impact on our life. And over the last couple of weeks, we have been dealing with the level below that, which is desire. And even fewer people are in touch with a deep desire that is in their heart. But that's where God wants to touch our lives. And that's where He wants us to be able to connect to Him at the heart level. And that's why Tony Stoltzfus has got a plug cord on the end of the heart there, if you're wondering why. Because that is where we are made to connect with God and get those deep desires satisfied. So we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Now what happens is that when we get triggered, if it comes through our rational brain, okay, back to our scenario with the vacuum cleaner. I was triggered by that. The immediate response from my highly rational husband was, why? Why are you upset? I'm just trying to help. This doesn't make sense. And to me, it didn't make sense either. He was being my loving new husband. He was helping me with the housework. That was a good thing for a husband to do. But my heart was not in alignment with that. My heart was struggling. So what God did in that situation, and what He does in all of our lives at some stage, and He wants to do, is to flip us into the emotional brain. Because when you start dealing with the emotional brain, you actually have easier access into what is happening at the deeper levels. So some of you, if you think back to a time that has really impacted and changed your life, I want you to think of that for a moment, okay? And then ask yourself, was it rational or was it emotional? Did God touch your heart through sitting down, having a reasoned conversation with you? Or did He go for something deeper? I hope you're thinking of something. The words underneath desire. Okay, under identity, you've got core beliefs, memories, values, strongholds, wounds. And then the deeper level of the heart is the level of desire. And that is passions, drives, needs. Okay, to come back to our story with the vacuum cleaner, and I'll probably refer to that one quite a few times during it. Here is our desire wheel. Now, all of us have these desires in our heart to some extent, but some will be stronger than others. And if you're familiar with the DISC profile, you'll probably recognize that you correspond on the DISC profile to some. Like, I am a high S personality. And the things that are most important to me are things like peace and belonging. Okay? So one of the things that I want and desperately need is that feeling of peace. But something was happening and something was not working between what was happening with Ray and I. Okay? I wanted peace, and yes, sure, go ahead, vacuum the floor. But there was still turmoil on the inside of me because I was not in alignment in those whole areas between my rational, my emotional, between what was happening on the inside of me at the identity level and what was happening at the desire level. See, we have two guardians that operate in our life. And these two guardians are what each of us have looking after the vault of the deep desires of our heart. Let's have a look at the first fella. Emotional memory. My situation with the vacuum cleaner. I only ever have one memory of my father vacuuming the floor. It was when I was a small child. We lived on a farm. Dad worked mostly outside. Mum and us kids were the ones that worked inside. I remember one day my father coming in, and we had people coming round that night. And my dad got very angry, and he got out the vacuum cleaner and he vacuumed the floor. Only time I remember him vacuuming the floor. See, what was fighting on the inside was an emotional memory that said, a husband vacuuming the floor means something is very wrong. He is so angry with you. Now, I couldn't identify that until the Lord helped me go back to that level. And I had to spend time with the Lord and say, why? Why do I get so upset with Ray? And it wouldn't have been so bad if Ray was gentle with the vacuum cleaner. You know, no, when Ray vacuums the floor, he says, I'm going to vacuum it like a man, you know. Don't expect me to be a wuss with a vacuum cleaner. So when he got out the vacuum cleaner, it was like, this floor is going to get clean. But for me, what that did was it kicked me into an emotional memory. And all of a sudden, this man that I loved was angry with me. Now, he wasn't angry, but my response was, he's angry with me. That's one side. See, the other side is that we have beliefs. When you have something that happens to you, especially that is wounding to you, as a small child, I saw my father angry. I've seldom saw him angry, but on that situation, he was. And that wounded me as a small child. Why? Because my need is peace. My need is belonging. Now, the other kids, maybe that didn't wound them as much because they didn't need that sense of peace in the home. But as a little girl, my father was angry. And that created a wound. See, you'll be wounded most where your desires are. And every time that we are wounded, we set up a belief which helps us understand what happened and helps us guard so that area is not violated again. The belief that I set up was that if I did everything and I made sure that I took care of all the needs, no one would be angry with me. Now, as a church, we've kind of been on a journey because I've been wanting to see people set free. And by and large, the body of Christ has prayed for a lot of people, and you see people walk in healing for a while. But then it all sort of seems to go away, and they seem to just go back to life as it was, back to bondage, back to struggling, back to relationships that don't quite work. And a lot of the training that we've had to date has been at this level, at the emotional healing level of let's find out what the wound is. See, once found out what the wound was, my daddy got angry. Okay, that's what the wound was. I forgive my dad. Now, the training that goes with that is, what's the lie you believed about God? Okay, yeah, God's not going to be angry with me. So that lie was healed. But it's only recently when we've started to say, Lord, there's got to be more here, because we're doing some healing at this level, but we're still not seeing people break through. See, that wound was healed regarding my relationship with Father and Father God, but I was still living with the belief of how to protect my heart to make sure that my need for peace was met. How would my need for peace be met? Through the belief that if I did everything and made everything perfect, no one will get angry with me. And part of what God's bringing the body of Christ to, I believe, and part of the training that we've received even up at Bethel this last time, is helping to go to this deeper level and say, okay, we don't want to just be healed in our relationship with God. That's important. But if you're still operating out of a belief that you don't even know is there, that will still affect your relationships. So how do we deal with these areas? Because these two guardians are going to operate in our life. They're not going to go away, but God wants to change what the emotional is, and he wants to change what the beliefs are. So number one, we've got to be willing to go to that level, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's have a look at the whole area of changing the heart. So as I said when we started the soul series, most of us focus at the action level. Let's change our actions. Let's discipline our life. Let's make sure that we're taking care of doing everything that we need to do. But there is a level below that. So let's have a look at the change tools, because they are different for every area of the heart. And the one we are most familiar with is discipline. But discipline does not work on desire. Even desire for the wrong thing, discipline will work for a while, but not long term. It will fail miserably. So let's start at the bottom level of the heart. The thing that changes our heart is desire fulfilled. That desire for peace that I spoke about. It's only when I started to allow the Lord to fill that desire for peace, that I wasn't trying to get it out of my relationship by just saying, oh, well, whatever you want, that's fine. I'll just do whatever you want. That's false peace. And if you're living like that, it won't work, because your heart's not aligned. The next level, our identity. Our identity is formed by experience, and it is changed by experience. I spoke last week about Ephesians. We spent a little bit of time in there, that you might know the love of God, which is past understanding. In other words, have an experience with the love of God that goes beyond your rational brain. And when God flips us into the emotional side, that's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to impact our heart in a way that changes us, that gives us that different experience. And when you hear people start to talk about what God's doing in their life, you'll see the impact of that. Ray, can you remember Ray sharing last week where he talked about, is it enough to be a son? Now, any one of us could have said to Ray, Ray, you know, it's enough that you're God's son. Don't need anything more than that. Just be God's son and life will be great. That would only have touched the rational brain. See, Ray knows that he's the son of God. But when God spoke to him, he knew. He knew by experience. And that's why experience is so important. See, Jesus said that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's that proceeding word where God speaks to your heart. And what? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. Again, that word is rhema. It's God speaking to your heart. When God speaks to you and you have that experience with him where you know that he has spoken something on the inside, that's what changes us. And that's why experience is so important. And sadly, in the Western culture, it's like, no, we don't need experience. We just need to rationally think this through. Rationally thinking it through will not change your heart. God wants to encounter our heart and for us to experience him. See, inner healing, folks, isn't just about dealing with the wounds. Yes, it's good to deal with the wounds and deal with the lies. That helps deal with those two guardians. But inner healing is also about having an encounter with God. It's an amazing situation if you have somebody come for a sozo or something like that, because if you're leading the sozo, you have one job, and that is to create an atmosphere where they hear God, where they experience something different, and where they can take that lie. And God says, well, I don't think that way. Let me change that. And he sows a thought into their heart that totally changes the heart. I'm sure if all of us went back and had a look at the things that have changed us the most, they are things that God has spoken to our heart. You know, sadly, in the church, most of us have wanted to do the ministry. Someone has a need, okay, everyone gather round and all will hear for that person and we'll tell them what God thinks. And we're only hitting the rational. They're sitting there going, oh yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that sounds good. Nah, I can't see that one. Nah. They're sitting there quiet, passive. But when we step back, and we let Jesus speak to that person's heart, he will speak at a level that will change them. And it's this level that I believe the church needs to start going after, to see the heart changed. And then we can go to the top level. Then we can look at the discipline of confessing those words, the discipline of praying and spending time, and because our heart is in alignment, it will work. See, let me give you a hint. If discipline is not working in your life, it's not because you're not trying hard enough. It's because your heart's not in alignment. There's something happening at the deeper level that God wants to minister to. And when he starts to minister in that level, you start to see freedom. Let's look at Romans 8, 28 and 29 now. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. We usually just stop with the first verse, with verse 28, because we like that one. God is good, and he'll make all things work together for good. That's a great foundation, but that's only step number one. God is good, and he will turn all things for good. Step number two is that God has a plan. And his plan is to change you and make you like Jesus. Okay. Most of us are really thrilled about number one. We're not quite so sure about number two. But it's out of our confidence that God is good that we start to give ourselves to number two, which is that God wants to change us. And number three, it is a process. We're not there yet, but God will get us there. He started it, he'll end it. Philippians 2 says this, second half of verse 12 and verse 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, help. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This verse brings out the fact that there is a co-laboring. God is at work. And he is at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's his plan. But it also talks about us working out our own salvation. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we take over what God is doing, but it means that we lean into what God is doing. And I want to finish this morning by talking about learning to lean in to what God is up to in our life. Because God does have a plan, and it is to make us like Jesus. And we can co-labor with him in that plan, or we can fight that plan. So let's have a look at what it means. It's called the levels of engaging. Okay? So we're going to go through each of these levels of engaging and talk about what it means. First level of engaging is just totally ignore what God is up to and what God is doing. I'll just live my life, make it as best as I can. And well, I guess I'll get to heaven when I die. I hope. I had an email about 3 weeks ago from somebody who we haven't seen in a while. For any little email, they were responding to an email I had sent to them. And they said, I know it's sad, but I only go to church when I have problems. Very honest, but very sad. See, they're living at this level. They think it's all about God blessing them. And they've forgotten that it's about God changing them. I know, the end of this message isn't going to be all that comfortable, but it will be good. The second level is resisting, and most of us start off at this level. It's like, change? You've got to be joking. God, aren't you here just to bless my life? Can't we just be comfortable? This level of resisting, we tend to do it two ways. Number one is avoidance. We just run away and hope God will forget about the fact that we have some issues that we don't want to deal with. That's one way that we do it. The other way that we do it is by blaming everybody else. It's not me. It's the person I'm married to. It's not me. It's the boss. In fact, it's the last five bosses. It's the system. It's the government. Yeah, if we just had a better government. It's all the rules and regulations. Yeah, if we didn't have them, I wouldn't have any problems. Again, we want to be comfortable. That's one of our problems. But I believe another problem is that we don't understand the difference between hurt and harm. We don't understand the difference between hurt and harm. See, there are some things that will hurt, but they will not harm you. And there are some things that do not hurt, but they will definitely harm you. If you want to understand the difference, think about last time you went to the dentist. If you needed something done and they came towards you with that big needle, they probably said, it's all right, this will hurt a little bit. But they were not aiming to harm you. They were aiming to heal you. And some of us think, if it hurts, it must be harmful. No. If we want to get free, we have to deal with some things in our life. And sometimes that is hurtful. But it is not harmful, it is healing. Don't confuse the two. And sometimes the fact that we resist and we won't deal with things means that in the long run, there is greater harm. Next area is enduring. We are just good Christian soldiers and we are boxing on. And we just hope like heck this will pass over. And that somewhere at the other side, when we get through this tunnel of misery, that we will find that we are in this wide open field of absolute bliss. So we're just gritting our teeth, trying to make it through, but not wondering why we are here and what is meant to change. So number one, we prolong the process. And number two, when we get to the end of the process, our circumstances may have changed, but we haven't. And that's a tragedy. If you're going through a situation that's difficult, at least make it count. At least come out the other end saying, that was worth it. Yeah, I'm looking at my time. Engaging with the head. It says head or tactical engaging. That is a case of saying, okay, what went wrong? What should we do? What principles do we need to learn? Next time, if we do it this way rather than that way, we won't have this much pain. Husband, did you learn that if you do it this way, it will work out better? That's engaging with our head. That's our rational brain saying, if we do A plus B plus C, then we will get what we want. And some of us try and deal with our problems this way. We have problems, oh well, therefore I'm not doing things right. Or I have problems, oh well, I better go apologize. So we are dealing with stuff on the head level, but we are not getting the response that we need. Because God wants to take us to engaging the heart. And this is where change happens. When we start to engage with the heart and allow the Lord to minister at that level, deal with the things that are affecting us, those emotional memories. If you've got emotional baggage, deal with it. Why drag the stuff around? You got a dead cat? Bury the thing. I believe that God wants his people free. And when we start to get free, then we start to become the people that carry freedom for others. See, out there is a whole lot of people who are struggling. And they're struggling over simple things like vacuuming the house. And they end up divorced. Because they have got irreconcilable differences. Every time he vacuums the house, I get so mad with him. Yes. And it's tragic. But I believe the body of Christ is meant to be a place of healing. It's not just a place of going inside so that we're all looking at the inside and not looking at what's happening out there. No, I believe God wants his body whole and healed so that we can go out and we can carry a message of healing out to a broken world. And we can know what it is to help people to come to that different level where they're not just dealing with things on the rational, or they're not just exploding and getting angry and not sure why. So I'm going to invite you to go with the journey with us. I will be speaking more next month about a little bit more of the details of what it will look like. But I'm going to invite you to start engaging with the heart. But in closing, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what level am I at now? If you've got a piece of paper, it might be a bad idea to do that. Just ask the Lord, Lord, where am I at in engaging in this process? Am I trying to ignore things, hoping they'll go away? Am I just trying to be a good Christian and boxing on? Just close your eyes and let the Lord speak to you on that one. Now I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what practical step can I take towards engaging at a deeper level. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you want so much to interact with your kids. You want your family home. You want them healed. And Lord, I thank you that you've got a plan. And your plan makes allowances for people just like us. People who want to run the other way. People who want to ignore problems, hope they'll go away, or to just soldier on and hope eventually to come out on the other side. But Lord, I thank you, your plan's a good plan, and that you meet with us right in the middle of our mess. You meet with us right in the place of our hurt and our brokenness. And Lord, I thank you that right in that place we've been hurt and we've been broken and we've believed a lie. Lord, you bring your healing touch. Lord, one touch from you changes our experience, changes what we know on the inside. So Lord, I pray that we might know and experience your love that goes beyond our rational understanding. Lord, that we might be a carrier of that love and set others free. I thank you for it. Amen.